Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God our Father and our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. So I'm a middle child, one of six, and I'm right smack in the middle with another middle child. I'm a peacemaker. I'm a mediator by nature, which means I really don't like conflict or division. Sometimes I wish that the Christian story wasn't so difficult, wasn't so messy. Our gospel for today, with its strong emphasis on division, father against son and mother against daughter, even to the point of splitting up these families, is a great example of this, and it makes me very uncomfortable. But the thing is that the only time that there's no division in a community is when there is no vision. Seriously, because a vision sets the course. It pulls you forward, and it invites and even demands change from you. And that, my friends, is what creates division. In Jesus' day, the primary way that people thought of themselves was as part of a group. And the father of the house made all the decisions. What the father said goes. Concerning what family members could or couldn't do, he had the final word. Nothing happened without the father's blessing. His word was authoritative. His word was final. And to be separated from one's family was to be outside the protection of that family and what they could provide. And for this reason, a person wouldn't normally leave home. Only with the protection and the provision of another would it be possible for a person to do so. And so Jesus promises the disciples just that when he says he'll acknowledge before his Father those who acknowledge him and deny those who deny him. I have not come to bring peace, but the sword, Jesus says. Following Jesus could mean a break with what has up until now protected and guided them. Living by Christian convictions, by the convictions that Jesus brought, would be difficult. And those who do so will have to make difficult choices. And so it is for us today, right? In our increasingly secular culture, many Christians are forced to choose between Sunday worship and earning a paycheck, between Sunday worship and their children's sports activities, between Sunday worship and the snooze button, because after all, it's my only day to sleep in. But that's the easy part. Today, if you're open about your faith, if you stand up for biblical values, you face everything from apathy to ridicule to downright hatred and offense, especially outside these doors. Because America values unity above convictions. Everything is done to maintain peace, but peace at what price? So we removed prayer from school because there are people who are offended by prayer. We've removed the Ten Commandments from the lawns of courthouses because not everybody follows those commandments. So is it the peace at the price of moral values? Is it peace at the price of integrity or justice? In an age where having convictions is equated to being a fanatic or being narrow-minded. It's not easy to stand up for the truth, especially the truth as is spelled out in the Bible. And Jesus knows that if we're going to fear God more than the opinion of others, we're going to need support, which is exactly what he promises. Jesus came to bring fire to the earth. He came with this vision of God's kingdom. It's a kingdom that stands over and against the kingdom of the world. See, the kingdom of the world says, "Blessed are the strong and the powerful, for they shall be revered." But the kingdom of God says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." The kingdom of this world says, "Blessed are those who eat to their heart's content, who wear the latest trends, for they have it made." And the kingdom of God says, "Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled." The kingdom of God challenges the status quo, and it makes people nervous and uncomfortable and downright angry, which is why Jesus causes division. And he doesn't enjoy this. This doesn't make him happy. Notice that he too is under stress. He was baptized by the Holy Spirit at the opening of his ministry. And the very first thing that happens after his baptism, when he goes into the wilderness to pray and prepare, is that he's tempted. He's tormented by the devil. He's frustrated as he travels toward Jerusalem and the cross, because the closer he gets to the cross, the more resistance he meets, and his message grows only more insistent. He comes with fire. And I don't want you to duck and think brimstone here. Think passion. Think Holy Spirit fire. Jesus was baptized with the Holy Spirit. He comes to set these people ablaze with the message of the kingdom, and he says, "How I wish it were already kindled." So why bring such a message? Why share a vision of the kingdom of God which lies in such great contrast to the kingdom of the world? Why endure the pain and the stress and the suffering that's sure to come as a result? Because this vision of a God who loves us all and a world that is drawn together by that love is worth it. And he's frustrated because he wonders how we, his listeners, both then and now, can know so much but miss what's truly important. And so he says, we know how to interpret the weather. We look at the clouds and we see rain, and we feel the wind and we know that it's going to be a scorching hot day. How then do we miss what he's trying to tell us about God's love for us all? And the invitation and the command to love each other in response. How do we miss that? Because instead of embracing and sharing God's love, we take each other to court rather than resolving our conflicts peacefully. We talk behind each other's backs rather than guarding each other's reputations. We grow jealous of each other's accomplishments or possessions rather than giving thanks for all the good things in our own lives. Why? Remember last week's lesson. Seek first God's kingdom, and all these things will be given unto you. We forget to seek first his kingdom. We put way too much trust in ourselves and the world rather than in God. And sadly, the kingdom of this world only reminds us and magnifies us of our anxieties and our worries and encourages us to look out for ourselves all the more. And this, my friends, is why we look to Jesus. This is why we come here week after week after week. Why we immerse ourselves in prayer and the Word. Why we feast at His table. Because when we do, we catch a glimpse of the vision of God's kingdom, which embraces all people, even those reluctant or hostile family members. It's a vision that values each person, even those who are dragging their feet, even the most resistant, offering endless love and forgiveness. It's a vision of the people of God gathered without distinction around the banquet table. But it's not just a vision for our hour of worship on Saturday night or Sunday. It's a vision that we bear to the world for the other 167 hours a week that we're not gathered here. This vision of the kingdom of God is compelling enough to give one's life for. It's what the world craves. It's what the world needs. And why only those who follow Christ can give it. This vision invites us into something that's much greater than ourselves, and it sends us to become what God has called us to be, a community transformed for the sake of the world. So to those who are still counting the cost in terms of convictions, and family, and reputation, and status, and comfort, Jesus reminds us. Those who find their life will lose it. And those who lose their life for my sake will find it. My prayer for you this week is that you'll take a risk to experience the truth of these words for yourself. Knowing that this same Jesus, who so desperately wants to have the fire of His Holy Spirit, the fire that was given to you at baptism at this font, burning a flame kindled in our hearts, so that when we leave here, people can't help but notice the same Jesus will show us on the cross just how much God loves us so that we can go out there and show the same. May you know as you leave this place that God, our Father, loves you so much. That Jesus, our Savior, sends you out there. You don't go alone. And that the Holy Spirit fills you so that the message you bring is His message. In their name, let us pray. Amen. Will you stand with me and profess?